it gonna take to make this all stop now, baby? Till it all burns down, till it all burns down. Listen, mama, know you're brokenhearted, cause the peace you're hoping for is off the scenes apart.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 2. What do we call this? It's like really episode 40 or something like that. But episode 2 of We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. We've got exciting stuff to go through today. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview and then we will get into it. So when we discussed starting podcasts, when John and Tyler and I kind of sat down to talk about it, one of the things we talked about was maybe like a network of podcasts, that maybe it wasn't really the best to just do We Love No Other. Maybe we should do some other things. So we decided to start with We Love No Other and restart it. The main reason for that was, we weren't exactly sure how it would work jump-starting a dormant podcast where we hadn't recorded an episode in years, and the only things in the feed were a few of the player interviews I would do over the years that I would load into the same, you know, same feed and such, just to distribute it to people. So the first thing we had to do was work that out with Apple Podcasts and such, since we did have a feed before. Is it okay to restart the feed? So we finally learned yesterday that that is true. So we now have a way to subscribe through iTunes. We can use that old RSS feed. People who before were subscribed to the podcast will now just get it. For example, in my phone, I was subscribed way back when, and the new stuff uploads. The problem was anybody couldn't, you know, it wasn't searchable because it had gone dormant. So iTunes has restarted that, which allows us to not have to change the feed. So that was step one. Step two now, since we got that today, is to distribute the podcast to Spotify and to Stitcher and to everywhere where I can eventually say to you, you know, get this wherever you get your podcast. So as of right now, you can search for We Love No Other on Apple Podcasts if that's where you get your podcasts, and you can subscribe right there. In a few days, hopefully, I can announce that we're distributing it everywhere. So that's the bit of news. I want to get straight to this. So here's what we're announcing today. So we plan to have 3 podcasts. There will be We Love No Other, which is just going to be my podcast, usually one-on-one interviews. We are going to have a podcast called The Boardroom, which is going to be a basketball podcast. I will have been putting these things on Twitter when we put this episode up on Friday morning. You will kind of see that and know that. First episode of that will be in a few weeks. The third podcast is going to be called The Field Pass, and the gentlemen who will be doing that podcast are joining me on this one. So this is a very special We Love No Other, where I get to announce what we're going to do with the football podcast. I'll just give you a general how it's going to work, and then we'll get to these guys. I'm going to join them a fair bit of time on the football podcast. Craig will join them maybe occasionally to talk football. All of the Illini board writers will kind of be able to, sometimes be guests, and sometimes it's just going to be these guys, and sometimes it's me. The whole kind of team will work their way in and out of these, but one podcast will have 4 guys and one podcast will have 3. And so let's get to the 3 who will be doing what we're calling the Field Pass. And there's a reason we're calling it the Field Pass, and we'll get to that in a second. So who should we start? I'm going to start with, let's start with the star. Ladies and gentlemen, say hi to Mikey Dudek. Say hi, Mikey.
Hello, everybody.
All right, let's talk about, let's start with you, and then we'll get to Dan and John. Let's talk about when you and I first started talking about this, which was after the Wisconsin game, right? When we were in like lot 31 and you and Chase Crouch were throwing a football around. So talk about how you've had the idea of maybe wanting a podcast and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, I, you know, for those who don't know, I played football for 5 years at U of I.
Everybody knows that, Mikey.
Yeah, you don't want to come off right off the bat acting like everybody knows you. So whoever does it.
Yeah, I was a freshman All-American and go ahead. Yeah.
Just some nobody.
Yeah, just some some guy.
So I played. Ultimately, you know, I had to retire because of injury and, you know, I had to move on with my life. And, you know, I wasn't quite done with football yet. You know, I love talking about sports and obviously football has been a part of my life since, you know, I can remember. And then, you know, going to school at the University of Illinois, you know, you fall in love with it. And, you know, just being a player and wanting to stay around the game, you know, and have done numerous interviews, numerous podcasts. You know, I thought, you know, I have a good understanding of the player's side of things, you know, and to what, you know, 95 to 99% of the listeners probably don't understand more of the behind the scenes stuff of what's actually going through the players' heads. So I feel like I could add a, you know, a different twist to the normal podcast where you're getting, you know, that information about, you know, what is going on in the huddle, you know, cause I was just doing that, you know, 2 years ago. So, you know, just with all of that, you know, in the podcast becoming, you know, so big, and then, you know, obviously Robert's Illini following is, you know, enormous. I approached him and, you know, now we're here today.
Yes. Okay. Let's get to, I have a bunch of stuff that I want you to talk about with this. And again, we're going to focus on the field pass and where the name came from and such. Let's go to John next, actually, since we're talking about the field. So some may remember this. I just went back and looked at the post today, John. So I've kind of known John for several years just on the internet, and we were all – so all four of us, all four that were on this pod right now, were on the field for the end of the Wisconsin game. Some may remember that when I posted my From the Stands, in that post I said, I can't type right now. I just high-fived a guy and nearly broke my hand, and my pinky finger and my ring finger on my right hand are still like kind of buzzing and I can't really type. So I'm typing with eight fingers. So John was the hand who almost broke my hand. It was years and years of Illini football angst coming out in one single high five. And I hurt his hand. He hurt mine, but best pain ever. Introduce yourself, Mr. John Ballas.
Yeah, so I in that moment, I didn't really know what to do when the ball went through the uprights. Dan and I had kind of just been chilling. Mikey takes off onto the field, and Dan's recording. I don't really know what to do. I kind of just started jumping around. There's a video on my Instagram and probably running around the internet that's me just jumping really unathletically. And then my next thought was, well, like, I can't go on the field. I'm not a player like Mikey. Like, he can go into the dog pile and that would be normal. I can't just be some random in there. And then I remember that you were back there because we had been watching you kind of pace. You came down from the press box when the game was, you know, really getting close. And my first thought, we had never actually interacted face to face.
Right. Only on the internet. Right.
Exactly. Yep. It was one of those where I just would email or DM you random Illini thoughts that were flowing through my head.
Right.
And you were kind enough to respond and indulge me. And then I was like, oh yeah, Robert's right there. So I ran up to you and it was just, you stuck out your hand and I hit that thing probably as hard as I could. And my hand stung as well, but I didn't even really feel it because it was just such a moment of elation that I didn't even really care. And then I kind of like hit you in the chest or something like that. Like it wasn't really a hug, but I definitely went in for like the point of contact. And
yes. And that it's on the recording. So I was recording from the stands at the time. So I'm going to point to that. Maybe I'll like relink it or something like that so that, oh wait, what a podcaster is supposed to say. Well, look in the description. I'll have a link to that. So I'll have a link to my from the stands from like when he and I high-fived. So that's when all this is going on. And then Dan, why don't you pick it up from there? Like why you guys were on the field, how you and Mikey know each other, you know, just take it from there, I guess.
Yeah. Taking us back. So first of all, I knew John first freshman year. He and I became friends, both bonding over Illinois sports. And then fast forward to, I think junior year, Mikey and I had a business class together where we had to I think we had to design an app. And randomly got assigned to the same group.
Do you remember the app of what you designed?
Either I do, you? Yeah.
Yeah?
It's called, it's now an actual app. So
really?
It's not our design. We had come up with the concept, but someone else also beat us to it. So it was an app where we were thinking maybe Cam's Red Lion. You go to a bar and there's a shared app where you can basically the community is the DJ. And you vote on songs where you'd upvote, downvote, and then whatever song's at the top of the queue would be the one that's played. So kind of like a social music app. So that was the concept. It was just for a project, but they told us, if you want to make it into an actual app, we'll match you with an engineering student and we'll put you in contact with who you need to, and you can actually design the app. But by the time we got to it and we started researching it, there are other companies that are already doing the same idea. So,
oh really?
So that was the idea.
So you wouldn't even be on the spot right now if it would have gone live. You'd be famous and
no shot. We'd
be Silicon Valley.
We're worth billions, probably.
Yes. Yes. Well, sorry for your loss.
So.
So keep going. Though. So you guys knew each other. John knew you guys work together now.
We do.
And that's what led to you guys all being on the field?
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially, Mike and I stayed in contact. And I think I found on Twitter something. I got linked to an article. The business school put out an interview with Mikey. Mikey, you might, I assume you'll remember it, but it was asking about your career plans after football, and you had mentioned you were either wanted to get into an NFL front office, I believe, or maybe wealth management or something like that in the business world, which is what I was doing at the time, a couple years out of school. So I just texted him and said, hey, saw this article, you know, hope all is well. If you have any interest, you know, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. We're hiring in our company, whatever. So he ended up being interested, ended up coming in, as you would imagine, impressing everyone with his work ethic, and got the gig. And, you know, we've been talking, hanging out. We both ended up, and John as well, we're all down there for homecoming. Wanted to go to the football game. Mikey, of course, has a couple extra tickets, field passes. He's like, let's go. So we show up, and, you know, the rest is history.
Yes, and so we end up basically all in the same spot at the same time, which was hopefully the moment that Illinois football turned around to the point where we go 8-1 this year. And, you know, that's a playoff spot, right? So, you know, let's have that kind of year. And then we can all point back to the four of us all having field passes, which is, as we were talking about a name for this, we went through several different Red Grange things, and something with the Grove and something with Florida Avenue or Kirby or something like that. And and finally in the group text, I think Dan said the field pass, and that's true, because that's kind of the genesis of, you know, that day is when Mikey and I started talking about doing a podcast. That day is when John broke my hand. That day is when Mikey was like, okay, let's start there. Okay. Mikey, you run out on the field.
Yeah.
You get like about to the 20 and you think, what if there's time left? And I just got a penalty for some fan running on the field immediately after it went through the uprights. So yeah, talk through that.
So there were, I don't even know how much time was left when they kicked it, but I think I was saying to you, Dan, I think I was saying, you know, I'm going to run out on the field right when he kicks it. It's going to go in. And, you know, was anyone know, was there three, four, how many seconds were left?
But, yeah, it was four. I think the timeout went with four. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. So anyways, when the ball went through, I blacked out. I just took off running. Like, I wasn't thinking about anything. And I'm running, right? I'm at like the 10-yard line. So I'm like 20 yards out there. I see the ref. The ref is staring at me. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, this is not going to be good. Yep. And I look around and there's no one else out, like no other fans out there. So I'm like, oh, like, holy shit. Like, I'm about to get a penalty.
Yep.
Bump it back 15 yards. Like, I'm going to be banned forever from even stepping on campus. You know, so I was like, oh my gosh, like, what the hell? And then, you know, obviously the game was over. I just, you know, was rightfully so, was extremely excited. And next time when this happens, I'll definitely pump the brakes on getting out there so soon.
Did you get
on? I have the video of this. I'm going to tweet it out. But
yeah,
we have we secured the field pass on Twitter. So I'll go ahead and post it from there. But I do a full pan. And you see Mikey start sprinting. By the time I spin around, 1 second later, he's at like the 40-yard line. You can see the ref looking at him.
I mean, that's that 4.4 speed, right? Yeah, 4.38 time laser time.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. It's like Robert. It doesn't really go away.
Oh, I know. Still trust me. Yeah. So did you get on the pile? What did you do when you got out there?
It was like 5 minutes of my life. I don't really remember, to be honest with you. I just was overjoyed with excitement. And, you know, it was, I mean, you guys remember, it was unreal.
Yep.
You know, who would have thought, you know, after, you know, all those horrible years, you know, just, and for me, just being in the program, you know, I saw, and I was a part of, you know, working out and working hard every single day. And, you know, when you're putting all that work in and don't receive a reward back for it, like not only physically, but mentally, it is exhausting and it is horrible. So, you know, just to see them get a win like that, that ultimately, you know, sprung them on to, you know, make a bowl game, go on the little run there. You know, I was just, it's hard to put in words, but I was overjoyed.
Did you find anybody? I mean, you know, it's 2019. Your last game was... Wait, was your last game 18?
18.
Yes. Yeah. So you had played, one game the season before. So did you find, like, you know, any of the guys from, like, you know, class of 14, 15, those kind of guys?
Like guys that were playing?
Yep.
Is that what you mean? Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Jake Hansen, you know, him and I are really good friends still. And, you know, of course, I found him and, he didn't even really know what to say. He was super hyped. And then, you know, Alex Palcho, I lived with him for a semester. Same thing with all those guys. And, you know, it's a moment that, you know, will be remembered for a very long time in all of Illini sports and, you know, probably across the Big Ten, honestly, in terms of upsets. And for those guys to make it happen and, you know, then us, you know, all four of us extremely – you know, dedicated fans, you feel a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what is special about, you know, this Illini Nation is that when you're truly a fan and you get bought in, you know, when they win, you feel like you win.
Yeah. And I think, so we found each other before the kick in the end zone. I saw you. I remember I told you something about this is just like the drive in 14. Which was you and Riley moving the ball down the field. You know, very similar thing. There was a long run from Josh Ferguson, a very similar spin move from Ferg, you know, to pick, like just like Dre did, to pick up more yards and then centered the kick and David Reisner made the kick. You know, you guys are still alive. You beat Northwestern the next week. You go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. So, I remember I said something to you about that, and then you were like, you were convinced that this kick was going in, and that's what you told me. It's like, we're absolutely making this. And then the next thing I know, you're running out on the field.
Yeah. You know, I think I said to you, I'm like, this is for you, Robert.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, you said, we're doing this for you. Yes.
Yes.
You've been waiting so long, I think you said to me. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, as a player, you know, they tell you to not read the social media or even, you know, don't watch the news. But,
right.
You know, it's anywhere you go, you see negative publicity, you know, even if you don't want to see it. So for a guy like yourself that, you know, was always, you know, rooting us on and, you know, being positive for us, you know, I know myself and all those guys in the locker room respect the hell out of you. So that's why I said it was for you. Yeah.
I'll send your payment later. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Saying that.
Now, Robert, let me ask you this.
Yes. Yes.
Did you watch the field goal go through the uprights?
I did. Yes. Okay. I had my phone pressed against the net and I wanted to feel it.
I saw it.
You know, so I like had my hand kind of on the net. And I'm like, if this hits the net, I'll feel the net move. And so
that's some next level stuff.
Yes. And I stood there for the Risner field goal in 14, the game where you had like 11 catches or whatever. I stood there for the game in 16 when Chase hit the upright and went to overtime against Purdue. And then you just shook your head, bad memories. And I stood there in, 19 for Wisconsin. So because I was at the net, I'm not really superstitious. I just like wanted to be in the spot. Like I was at the net when Risner's field goal went through. I was kind of off to the side when Chase's field goal hit the upright. And so I wanted to be back against the net and I wanted to feel it and sense it and watch it. And so the biggest thing for me that I remember, and I wrote about this this week, was I was standing next to Michael Martin, the old long snapper who does the sideline stuff for football games. And he, knowing special teams as a long snapper, like as soon as the ball was in the air, he screamed, "It's good." Like he knew off the foot, you know, you just know the angles and you know this. Like I'm still worried about like, what if it drifts and what if there's wind or whatever. He knew it was good. So I had this immediate calming influence standing next to me. Like, wait, did he say it's good? So And then pandemonium. So for me, it was this like, it was really nice to have a spotter kind of like tell me that it's good while I'm still like trying to process. What if the snap goes wrong? Do we have a timeout? Can we stop it? You know, like, you know, I'm trying to process. And if you remember, it was like quick. Right? Like, Gene Honda is barely done with a 39-yard field goal attempt when it's in the air. So they wasted no time and he picked his spot and Blake called for the snap and that was that. So to answer your question, I did. I watched it. I was right. You know, I wanted to be there. I wanted to feel it.
I was a little worried about you. That whole drive, I kept looking back and you were pacing and I was looking over at the paramedics thinking like, we might need these guys.
Man down. Yes. If you remember,
and
this
watched it.
People like somebody asked me if like I just like said this. So I filmed the thing and I'm just like walking around filming like green turf in front of me. Yep. High five you. I see Holly, our photographer, I high five her. You know, and I'm in disbelief. And then I just had a moment, like literally 2 minutes later of like, is it over? Like, I just had this thought of like, wait, what if I'm on the field and I can't hear any announcements coming from the ref or whatever? What if right now they're trying to clear the field because there's 1 second and Illinois is getting a 15-yard penalty and has to kick from the 20 or, you know, whatever. Like, I just had this, like, you know, the Illinois feeling, right? Like, you're like, oh, wait, something can always go wrong. So so I say on the recording, like, is it over? Do we win? Like, I need someone to confirm this for me because I still don't think I believe I saw what just happened. It was so...
Still to this day, I almost feel like I'm like waiting for something, like a challenge or something to come out of the clouds. Like
I had that thought yesterday of like, you know, you just have that like, Yeah, what if they did take it away? Like, what if they reversed the decision the next day and, like, you know, we had 12 men on the field or, you know, like,
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it's
just so hard to believe it. So, Mikey, you run on the field. John and Dan, what did you guys do after that?
We went on the field.
We also kind of, I would say we probably blacked out to a fair degree just in terms of the excitement. We were kind of just getting into the mix, not as intensely as Mikey.
Yep.
We talked to Rod Smith.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was like my first when we came back to. We just were dapping up Rod and nothing too crazy, but we were talking to him for like a couple seconds.
Did you ask any scheme questions of like, why did you go to the RPOs until the second quarter?
Yeah.
As much as I would love to. And I was just itching to talk his ear off. I figured he should probably be able to enjoy the win. But
right,
yeah, that's like my first memory after we were just like on the field, singing, celebrating, whatever. But yeah, then we were talking to Rod Smith for a little bit. I don't know if you can fill in any other holes, Dan.
The interesting thing about Rod is like, I mean, he was walking by and we're like, I think I said like, Rod, incredible drive, something like that at the end. And he stopped and he said, thank you. But he stood there and like started talking to us for a minute in the middle of the field when everyone's like, this is 5 minutes removed from him calling that, you know, leading that drive. And he just stopped there and just was like, thank you guys. Like, thanks for staying committed to us. And we're like, man,
yeah,
5 minutes removed from driving us down the field. Rod Smith standing there for a minute, just talking to people he's never met before and thanking us for like staying committed to the program and believing in them. And I was like, man, this guy, I'll play for this guy.
Yeah. I think the best that like, had they not allowed fans on, like, if you remember, actually you're young guys, you may not remember this. So 2008 is when they finished the renovations. And I think they were done with the north end zone earlier than that, like 06, 07. Anyway, the point behind the design of the student section is just those two stairways, and they only come from the band's part of the section. And the whole point was students used to rush the field. Block I used to be over in the East Main. We got to stop the students from rushing the field. Let's put them up here behind the band where they don't have a stairway and they would have to like jump a 15-foot wall to get to the field. And that was the point. And I remember in 14 after the Penn State win, like there were some people trying to get to the field, other big wins that like there's the thought of it. And there was always ringing the field with the people in the fluorescent coats and, you know, trying to stop people. So the fact that they let all the fans come on and every, you know, we have these stories, but so many other fans have so many stories from that day of, I got down there and I said hi to, you know, whatever player I ran into. And Mikey, I'm sure you ran into a million fans and everything else. So I'm so glad that whoever made the decision, okay, that's fine, let's let them do this. It was a brilliant decision because that it's such a memory for Illinois fans. Mikey, yeah. How many, like, I'm sure you were stopped by a lot of people, right? I'll be humble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a random guy, remember? No, yeah, no one knows Mikey.
Yeah.
He was looking pretty Hollywood with that hat and the glasses he was wearing. So, he might have, you know, it might have been enough of a disguise.
No, yes.
I will say, I think it was the week before against Michigan. It was cold, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's why I dressed really, like, I had a coat on, a sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
I was, like, preparing for it to be cold. And then it was pretty chilly in the morning. And then when the sun came out, oh my gosh, I was dying out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, that was a good disguise. Okay. Yeah. So we've covered the Wisconsin game last year, and people are probably tuning in, want to know about the Wisconsin game this year. I'm going to post this Friday morning, so we'll be hours before the game. So John, I'm going to start with you. I haven't written my stream of consciousness yet. We're recording this Thursday evening. I will write it right after this. I told you guys before we started recording, I still don't know what I'm predicting on the season record. I go back and forth. You know, I ended my preview saying we're either going 1-8 or we're winning the Big Ten West, because I can talk myself into all these seniors and I can talk myself into we're Illinois, and it always falls apart after a bowl, and it's just not going to happen. So what are your general thoughts? Let's start just with Wisconsin. What are your thoughts going into this game?
I was going to say, you're going to have to get specific there, because I could start rambling about a number of things if it's just season related. But yeah, so for Wisconsin, my thoughts are they are obviously going to stick to their bread and butter. They're going to try and establish the run because they know that they have a quarterback that has very little experience, and they know that the defensive line is trying to replace everyone. And that's just what they do as well. And to be quite fair, the guys who are going to be in, hopefully Roderick Perry is all they've built to be, but the other guys aren't really, maybe besides Isaiah Gay, but I'm more impressed with his run defense when it comes to the read option, not so much as it relates to stopping a power run team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to try and attack as much as they can running the football, which is kind of stating the obvious, but just to take the pressure off of a redshirt freshman getting his first start in Big Ten competition.
Yeah, he's probably right. Yeah, they probably look at Illinois and like, where do we attack? And they say, wait, four new defensive linemen? Go, go, go.
And it's perfect for him, too, because he has the arm talent. Referencing the Wisconsin quarterback, he has arm talent to settle into a game if he's given, you know, favorable passing situations on, let's say, play action, where Illini linebackers in at least recent vintage have been really poor and will easily just get sucked up to the line, and he'll probably hit Ferguson on some little pop pass. They'll go for 25 yards, if not more, and we'll all be upset, and hopefully one of those will turn into, all right, we generate a little bit of pressure, and then it sails and falls right into Sidney Brown's hands.
I like it.
But
I'm there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I think that their scheme will kind of play to that. I think that with the amount of experience that the Illini have in the back seven, they might be able to blitz / key the run a little bit more because of the fact they could put Devin Witherspoon and Nate Hobbs on an island, probably even Marcus Beeson if he gets in for any extended period of time. It's more of a, okay, we're going to put the game on you guys. We got to sell out to make sure that these guys don't gash us. And that's how I see it going in terms of the big matchup of the defense versus offense.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the offense for the Illini versus the defense of Wisconsin, obviously that's more of a strength on strength. And what I want to see, my slogan for the entire year is going to be let / make Brandon run. Because if they can plan, I would say 6 to 8 intentional runs for Brandon Peters in a game, even if three of those are going for, you know, 1.5 yards on average, you almost have to scheme it in just so that you can put a little bit of hesitation into, you know, the backside linebackers.
They don't crash everything. And yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
So if you can get him going on the ground, which he did a little bit last year to effectiveness, then I think that'll open up the rest of the game. They got a lot of new weapons that they can utilize. And I think it'll be low scoring because not everyone's really gelled on either team and it's first game against Big Ten opponents. But I could see the boys putting up 3 touchdowns and a couple field goals.
Look at you. All right. Dan, I'm going to put it to you next and then we're going to go to Mikey. So does Wisconsin this year after beating them, do they scare you like they used to? Or does last year give you a little bit of we kind of even contained Taylor last year. Was Groshek really that good? And, you know, do they scare you like they used to, the intimidating haven't beat them since 07? Or is it you feel a little more gettable?
Like you said, they're almost humanized after last year. But
right.
I go back to reminding myself that it's Wisconsin. They were number 6 in the country. They're 16 in the country. They're one of the most consistent programs in the Big Ten. And I just go back and forth because on one shoulder, I'm like, okay, we beat them last year. We can do it again. But then the models and the people who always know Vegas are, they say 20 points.
Yes.
So then I think, okay, their defense, how solid were they last year? I think Illinois was the first team to score a first half touchdown against them last year.
Yep.
And that was game 6. So yes. And Illinois held them to 23 points, which I looking back now, I'm kind of impressed that they did that against the number six team in the country. Is that, you know, are we able to replicate that?
Yeah.
I just don't know. And there's so little information with the way things have been run this throughout the summer with camps. It's, I don't know what we have. I don't know what they have. Like, there's just, it's kind of a crapshoot. So it's,
It's so hard. I really don't know. I wish there was a non-conference. Like, just give me an Illinois State. Like, let us have some fun.
6-3 to 7 victory, right. just to make us feel good for a little bit before
we get tested. If we played Bowling Green last week or something, and we win that, you know, 55-3 kind of game, and then we know now maybe it works to our advantage. You know, like, when's the last time? I mean, when I was a student, we opened with Michigan in like 95, I think. 94? No, 95. And you know, that was this big, like, whoa, like Michigan and like Labor Day. Like, well, how are we supposed to, you know? But it felt like that day there was maybe a little advantage. Like, we were changing some things. Michigan had no film on it and no idea what we were, you know.
Right.
So, you know, maybe Rod gets a little funky and tries some stuff that they wouldn't even be expecting. You know, there's nothing on film out there. They don't know. You know, they probably are aware of three tight end sets and that, you know, that we have maybe the ability to do that now, but we've never shown it on film. So maybe it's a little advantage. But then on the flip side, you know, maybe Graham Mertz is a superstar and we're about to get, you know, drubbed.
Yeah, he could be, but then you think he's a redshirt freshman. How few and far between are redshirt freshmen that come out and impress in their first start, you know,
right
in the Big Ten. I mean, it's going to be a weird environment, no fans in the stadium, so it's like, it's just hard to say what we're going to get out of them. And I feel like I have some confidence in this team and the continuity that Illinois brings back with Peters, you know, returning under Rod Smith's offense. So I feel like Illinois is going to test them. I don't foresee a situation where, you know, it comes out and one team's just absolutely beaten down the other team. I think it's going to be a tight game at least through three quarters, and, you know, we'll see what we have and we'll see what they have. But I'm excited, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm probably not sleeping tonight. So
I'm with you. Okay, Mikey, my question for you is, like, I want some like inside baseball stuff here. So, like, I'm curious, like, you know, I talked to former players before, and they'll be like, you know, Minnesota under this coach, they were that team that would, like, you know, you're laying on the ground, they'd step on your hand with their cleats. Like, you know, you could tell they were instructed to get into your skin with, like, stuff like that. And so different teams, it's like, man, this team hits hard, or man, this team's, like, you know, what, like, in the locker room when you're facing Wisconsin, what's the feel about what you're about to face? Like, what's the vibe of Wisconsin football from the opponent's standpoint?
Just, you know, what they, you know, put on tape every Saturday. They're just a powerhouse team, you know, running the football, those little dinky passes to the tight ends. And then, you know, maybe they'll hit you over the top, you know, catch you off guard on a deep ball. So, you know, from a player's standpoint, you know, when we would go into Wisconsin games, you know, especially last year, I thought we matched up really well against them, believe it or not. And, you know, I think this year, you know, I know those guys are going to be extremely confident going into those games. And I know how you were saying earlier, you kind of wish we had a tune-up opponent per se, but, you know, I'm kind of glad we don't. Because, you know, you go in, you blow out a Bowling Green 55-3 or, you know, whatever like that. And, you know, these guys, it builds their confidence. But in a way, you want them going into this game with that unknown. You know, you don't want them, you know, going into this game thinking that they're all world already.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a good test on both sides, because we don't know, you know, which players are going to be out with injury or even COVID, you know, because there's so many unknowns going into this season. But, you know, this is the year. You know, all those freshmen we played in 2017, they're seniors now. You know, they're leading our team out there. And, you know, second year quarterback
Going into an offense is huge, just mentally. And then, you know, your best receiver back, you got Mike Epstein coming back off IR. Yeah. And, you know, four or five offensive linemen coming back. So, you know, that experience is there. And you know, going into an away game against Wisconsin, you know, I know these guys are super pumped and, you know, they'll be ready to go. Because, you know, this – sorry, I'm rambling here. No, but good. Just the first game of the season, you know, you're so used to, you know, hitting the same person every single day, you know, going through camp. And finally, when you get to that first game, you are just so excited to go out there and, you know, just hit somebody else who's not your teammate. You know, all that work you've been putting in. And you know, this is 10, 11, almost 11 months, you know, leading up to this game.
I promise not to ask questions like, oh, well, you would know what happened this year. Tell us about, you know, tell us the dirt on this. That said, here comes a question like that. So you referenced 17. That's the season for you. Let's see, what, 7 games before the knee to your back? 8 games? 8 games. 8th game is when you took a knee to your back and missed the rest of the season. Was that? Am I saying that right? I think.
Yes, I believe it was 8, yeah.
No, I promise not to take you back through your injuries, but I just did. But but you mentioned 22 freshmen played in 17. Obviously when you do that, there's going to be some upperclassmen who are like, coach, like what, just if I'm not in your recruiting class, like what was the general, or was it more of a like, and these freshmen, yeah, I think he won that job. I think Bobby Rountree might be the, you know, he's a true freshman. He's 18 years old. He might be our best defensive end on this entire team. Like what was the general vibe of that season?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, it's for those seniors. You know, I don't want to name drop anybody because, you know, those are my really good friends.
Totally.
But
there were some crutch guys.
Yeah, that dude. There were some guys who, you know, were very disappointed. And the mindset that they were going through with was, okay, I had, you know, I started 5 games. I had a bad game 6, you know, we're 2-4 right now. And I just got benched for, you know, missing 2 tackles in a game so they could play one of their freshmen.
Yep.
And the mindset amongst, you know, a small portion of the team was that in a way we were just, I mean, we were building for the future, but they thought, you know, that it was almost getting used as an excuse.
Totally get it.
For the poor performance that was getting put on the field. So,
yeah.
You know, when you do that, it's got to show, you know, 2-3 years down the road.
Yep.
And this is the time where, you know, you benched some of our best players for this.
Yep.
So the product's got to be there this year.
Absolutely. Needs to be. Very well said. That's totally, John, you were shaking your head there. Like you're on board with that thought.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I think that this is it kind of sucks for those guys. Obviously, I've played 0 downs of college football, but you think about the finite nature of, you know, you have a scholarship for 4 or 5 years, and those guys who were playing in 2017, those upperclassmen, you know, I doubt many of them had pro aspirations, so they're just thinking, okay, well, I was here and I was playing, and
yep.
That just kind of got sucked away from me. So there better be, this is kind of the, I guess the homage to those guys that if we can go, you know, 6-2, 7-1, then it'll all have been worth it.
Okay. You heard it here first. John Ballas has predicted 7-1 for the University of Illinois Fighting Illini in 2020.
And we're only losing to Northwestern because we're going to be reading our press clippings and of course, Gackett. Okay.
Yeah, so we're let's see, at that point we're 7-0, we'd be up to 8th in the country, something like that. 7-0 having just
beat Ohio State.
Yeah, just beat Ohio State, good. Just beat Iowa. 7-0 thinking about the playoff and we stumble in Evanston.
Yeah. It's going to be a 6-2 game.
Yes. Yes. Where we have a chance and Pat Fitzgerald himself trips a wide receiver running down the sideline, and it doesn't get picked up, and he claims he didn't know he did it.
He yells, Go Cats right into someone's ear hole as they're running down the sideline.
Exactly what would happen. I think this is going to happen. This is
Kyron Cumbie's taking it down the sideline on a punt return and just go Cats, and dude just falls right over.
I just fainted at the thought of Kyron Cumbie returning a punt. That felt really good. But everything feels really good in the night before the season. Here's a general question. Anybody can answer it. Okay, I've had this conversation with my friends, especially when we used to open with Missouri, or we'd open with a real game kind of thing, not just some, you know, Murray State or whatever. But what do you think your second quarter feeling is tomorrow? Like, the famous one is 2009. We're favored over Missouri by 7.5 going into that game. Missouri had just won 11 games. We had just gone 5-7, and we're favored by almost 8. We're going in. Vegas has the over-under at 8. Like, we're like, this is the season. And by the second quarter, it was like, we're done, and Missouri's not even that good, and it's over. Anybody who wants to jump in, what's your second quarter feeling tomorrow?
If it is not the way we want to go for it, it'll be interesting to see how those guys, finish the game. Because it's one thing to go down 21 and lose 21-17, but it's another thing to go down 21 early and lose, 48-7. You know, that's where I would be like, oh, like this is going to be a rough season. But, going back to the whole experience thing, you would hope that, when you do like Michigan State last year, 2017, I would have bet everything I owned that we would not have came back from that. Mm-hmm. But last year, came back and won. So, it'll be interesting to see. I'm hoping, though, tomorrow we're up in the second quarter and then the four of us can laugh about it.
Start overreacting in the second quarter when we're up 2 scores.
If we're up 2 scores in the second, the amount of overreacting I will do.
Yes. I start printing playoff shirts.
That's right. Who do we want in the playoff? Do we want to be in the 2-3 game, or do we want Bama in the first round?
Yeah. Give us Clemson.
Yeah.
Okay, John. What's your second quarter?
So I think that this is pretty interesting because it feels like Lovie Smith teams usually in the second game are when they fall in the second quarter. It feels like the first game when they're getting tuned up against a non-con, it usually is they go out and kind of blow doors off. But then you get into that second game, and then it's I can think of all the overreactions I've had where I'm just like, I think Lovie might get fired in the second quarter against some random non-con.
Or down 14-0 to UConn or whatever it was, 10-0.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But now we've got a Big Ten game, no tune ups. We're 20-point underdogs, and like I said, obviously never been in a locker room, but I feel like Mikey, you could probably attest to this. Like, you gotta know what the spread is going into the game and how
So
they probably know that they're loaded for bear, and I think it's gonna be a lot closer. Then, so what, 20 points? So Vegas probably has the first half line at like 10.5 or something like that. So I think it'll be close than that. Probably like I would say maybe 14-10 Wisconsin. But I'd be loving that.
It's going to be penalties everywhere, laundry on the field.
Great question.
Oh, yeah. There would be a lot of laundry.
Probably.
Because normally, during camp and even during the season, refs come to practice, right? And if you're doing one-on-one drills, receivers and DBs, offensive line, defensive line, and you hold, they'll throw a flag. So they haven't had that. As far as I know, I'm pretty sure they've not had refs. So it's going to be a lot of laundry, I'm predicting. Hopefully not. I hate when there's flags like South Florida in 2017. Oh, my God. Yeah. But hoping for a clean game. But I think, especially early on, I think there'll be a lot of laundry.
Yeah, is the that's a good point. Like, I keep thinking about that. Like, they probably haven't had, because it's usually refs who are tuning up for the season. Like, they need camp too. So you'd see a legit Big Ten crew show up at Illinois practice, and you know, the guys are even calling penalties on one-on-ones with offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They're like, no, that was a hold. No, that was a hook. You know, that kind of thing. So
right.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that.
They have, what, 3 new offensive linemen versus Illinois, who returns 4.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's an advantage Illinois there at the line of scrimmage on offense that, you know, these guys have played and they know what they can get away with, what they can't. So, you know, maybe an Illinois advantage there. We'll see.
Yeah.
I was going to say maybe hopefully they're like more laissez-faire with the holding calls like they have been in the NFL. But you're actually right, Dan. That might not benefit U of I because – the boys up front probably are not going to be holding as much as 3 new starters for a Wisconsin O-line. So, yeah, maybe they're – hopefully the refs are ready to go.
Hopefully they don't get the Nick Allegretti hold, which is like a guy ducks under him and suddenly –
it was horrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was great, but it was awful.
Yes.
A horrible call. Great play.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we're going to – I want to do picks to click. I want to everybody pick a player, and I want to go first so I can take my guy. And it's my podcast. We're not on your podcast yet, so I get to do that. So,
we'll let you have it.
Of course.
Since this is We Love No Other, I love Mike Epstein. And he is my pick to click. I don't think people remember how good he is. 2 things. I don't think people remember how good he is. And I don't think people believe he's going to be healthy. And so I just feel like he's going to be... you know, it's tough to say that when you're playing Wisconsin and they returned 9 of 11 starters on defense and they're probably going to be one of the top 5 defenses in the country. So it might be a game where, like, you know, you're going to run for 47 yards or whatever. But I just feel like he's going to break 1 or 2. You know, I think the best thing about Epstein is that he can break tackles, probably better than Reggie could or even Dre could. And if he's healthy and if he's fully back, I think he can have a big game. In fact, Mikey, I think you told me that. In fact, I remember this. So spring practice, I'm talking to you and Chase Crouch. This is like that. It was like on Valentine's Day, I want to say. It was that year that Lovey wanted to do practice at like starting on February 10th or something. So spring ball started way early. And you and Chase told me like this kid's the real deal. Like he's legitimately good. You know, we've seen him in workouts and this and that. Like this kid's got skills. And maybe it was fall camp. Now that I'm thinking of it, like because you had already been in practice with him. But what are your thoughts on my guy Epstein for pick the clip?
Yeah, no, I back up everything you said. And you know, Mike is someone, he's probably the most dedicated person I've ever met when it comes to football, just off the field stuff. Like his diet is incredible. Like, I don't even know how he is the healthiest eater I've ever seen. He treats his body right. He's got Normatex at home, the thing to ice his leg. Like he takes such good care of his body and he works out, works super hard. So, you know, I'm praying and hoping that, you know, he has a full healthy season so we can really see what he can do. And, you know, you mentioned, a little bit about his playing ability, obviously, and, you know, he's a force catching the ball too. He's good. He's got great hands, you know, screen play, screen routes. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think he's going to have a really good year. Okay. Game.
We'll let you go next on a pick to click for the Wisconsin game. Who's your guy tomorrow?
I think I know who he's going to choose.
Okay.
Yeah.
You write it down on a little piece of paper.
I think we both know.
They'll know.
Okay.
You probably will know once I say it.
Okay.
I'm going with my man, Donnie Navarro.
Oh, it's the high school thing. Yes.
The high school connection. Uh-huh. I think, you know, Donnie, what is he? He's going into year two playing.
Yep.
You know, he's on scholarship now. I saw some videos of him at camp just bossing dudes up. So I know his confidence is up there. And, you know, I know he's a hard worker as well. And he's always had that chip on his shoulder. And, you know, last year he showed it that, you know, he can play at the highest level. And, you know, the coaches have confidence in him. Brandon Peters has confidence in him. So, you know, look for him to have a big game from the slot. And the slot really, you know, could help drive the offense this year now that, you know, he's got a full year of experience. Trayvon Sidney hopefully is, you know, healthy. And, you know, I think we'll see a lot of production out of the slot, and especially from Donnie.
Did you play with Donnie in high school, or you were like 3 years older?
I was a senior when he was a freshman. Okay. Or sophomore, yeah. So I never played with him, no.
Got it. Okay, I was just curious. Okay, Dan, we're next to you. Your pick to click, and Donnie and Mike are taken.
I'm going to go to the other side of the ball just to change it up. But I think I got to go with Nate Hobbs. Mm. Nate Hobbs, last year he finally had some expectations, I think. And I think he struggled a little bit. He played solid football, but I think this is the year. He's a senior now. It's time to step up. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, some of the younger guys. You have some big names, Marquez Beeson being one of them. And I think he's primed to, you know, let everyone know that he's a senior. And we'll see. Mikey's told me before, Nate Hobbs is probably one of the most athletic kids on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's
– I would argue he's number one.
Mm-hmm. In terms of athleticism?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
So I want to see him, you know, lock a few Big Ten number one receivers down and improve that he's the guy this year on the defensive side, create some turnovers and, you know, spearhead a defense that needs to take a little bit of a step forward.
I like it. All right, John, your guy.
All right. Yeah, I kind of alluded to it earlier with Isaiah Gay. That's going to be my guy for the Wisconsin game. If they can generate a pass rush with four, they're going to win the game. And that needs to come from Isaiah Gay, in my opinion. I don't think Roderick Perry, maybe he can get some pressure up the middle and get some happy feet rocking and some balls sailing. But I think if you're going to disrupt the timing and maybe force some turnovers, get some errant throws, throw Graham Mertz off his game, it's going to come from Isaiah Gay being the best pass rusher and generating some. Maybe he only has one sack, one and a half sacks. I mean, that would be great. But in terms of his disruptive ability, I'll definitely be keying on him and seeing how he does. I think this is kind of the year, you know, he came in as a freshman and definitely needed to eat a couple sandwiches. And then he put on some weight, which was good. But I think now he's kind of settling in as a true senior. Mm-hmm. Who's really, and you've talked about this before, Robert, about how young he is. And I think that he's probably, or hopefully settled into his body now and with the strength and the burst, and he'll put that on display against the boys in red.
I like it. Okay. So we'll do this in closing here. I'm not going to give a prediction myself because that has to come in about 15 minutes. But I'll let you guys go on the record here. We'll go in reverse order this time. So John, you're going to keep going here. And I'm curious if anybody's actually going to pick the upset. So I at least give me a score so you can say whether they're going to cover or not. Let's say that it's 19.5. That's where I saw it this afternoon. So, you know, 20 or 19 is your mark. So 19.5, what do you expect in this game? And then is it a cover or is it not? And if you pick them to win, obviously you're picking a cover.
Yeah. So I will, I'll pick the boys cover. I guess I kind of gave away my analysis earlier where I said 3 touchdowns and a couple field goals. So we'll go, 33-27. I'm not picking this game as an upset just because I think it's going to be hard to go up to Camp Randall and even though there's gonna be no fans, get that upset. But I think it'll be a good, especially building off last year where they were never really out of many games. I think Michigan got away from them late, but otherwise I felt confident that they could at least, you know, make a run in every single game. And I'm hoping to see more of the same in this game. Is what I'll say.
Okay. All right, Dan, you're up.
All right. I wish and I want to pick an Illinois upset, but
we all do.
I really do. And I got to go. I think 27-17 Wisconsin. And the reason for that is their defense. I mean, they lose a couple linebackers, but they pretty much have everyone back. And I don't want to forget, just we're biased knowing that Illinois beat them last year. We have that memory, but that defense is really good. And
yep,
putting up, a number of points is going to be a tough task. And then on the other side of the ball, I'm a little concerned about, we all know Wisconsin linemen and how good they are year in and year out versus a relatively inexperienced defensive line. And I think they might have their way in the run game. And if they establish that, I don't think Wisconsin's going to have a ultra high powered offense where they're putting up huge points this year, but I could see them, rushing and, running for a couple hundred yards and over the course of the game and kind of death by a 1,004-yard rushes.
Mm-hmm.
So I want Illinois to come out and, prove me wrong, obviously, but the back of my mind tells me Wisconsin just,
yep,
year in and year out has that consistency, and we're Illinois. We're not supposed to beat Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. I got to remind myself that, and I hope they show me otherwise.
I hear you. Okay, Mikey, are we going to go 3-for-3 picking Wisconsin? Well, both of you had a cover, so you're up.
Yeah.
I'm going Illini this week.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Love that.
I
love that.
More, please.
I just – outright. Oh, yeah.
I had to do it.
I just – I feel like there's so much unknown going into this game, truthfully. And I feel like we're going to shock a ton of people. I know they're all those guys are extremely confident, experienced, like we've touched on earlier. And, I think we're going to come out and play a very good game, very solid game. And, I want consistency. If our offense is consistent, limiting our three and outs, obviously no turnovers, just being able to put quality drives together to control the ball. Cause Wisconsin, when they get moving, on offense, it's tough to slow them down. So for defense, the key to that will be winning on first down. That'll be huge. If we could get them in, third and medium, second and long situations where, we know they're going to pass, get away from their bread and butter, it's going to work out in our favor, but the key is going to be winning those first downs.
So close game. What's your, did you give a score there? I don't remember.
I did not. 52-7 Illinois. What was that?
Yeah. I'll go. Let's go. 24-17.
Oh, at first, I thought he was going to say 7, and I was just going to yes, like one late garbage touchdown. Yeah. It's so weird. I mean, John, you mentioned like no crowd. It's just like, okay, is it a road game? Like, what makes it a road game? The hotel, probably? Like, it is a little weird, but there's no routine yet.
It's Mikey, didn't you say, when you're a home team, didn't you guys stay in a hotel the night before the game?
Yeah, but you're still getting ready in your own locker room.
Yeah.
You have access to your home training room with all the hot tubs and all the extra equipment, because you can only bring so much on road games, so... Right. There is a difference. I personally loved home games, not because of like atmosphere aside. I just liked my routine that I would do every day for practice. I'd go get in the hot tub and, warm my body up, get on a bike, a stationary bike, roll that around, and all these different machines we had in our training room that, you can't bring to away games. So it does throw it off a little bit. But the fans will be the big thing that, obviously works out in Illinois' favor, being the away team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
all right, Robert.
Yeah. What?
I want to hear from you, the Mr. Oracle, the Illini Oracle. People want to know, Illinois, first game. I don't need your full season prediction, because I know you haven't made that up. But
uh-huh.
what do you think the result's going to be here tomorrow?
I'll say it, because I usually don't say it until like I write the SLC, but that comes out before this, and I know where my emotions are leaning with this game, and it's not very good. The way I see this season, it's going to have a wake up point, like last year did with Eastern Michigan. Well, Eastern Michigan and then Minnesota. So many injuries in the Minnesota game. And after that Minnesota game, they like, okay, let's just go with Green and Brown. Let's send Adams back to corner. Let's figure this defense out. And they did. And it worked. And it led to the four-game winning streak and everything else. So, you know, first game, ranked team at Wisconsin. I don't think we'll look awful. I don't think it's some drubbing, but I think it's like a late Wisconsin cover. So if the line's at 19.5, I'm thinking it's going to be something like let's just go with a touchdown score that it's going to be like 35-14, something like that.
Okay.
To where, you know, we don't look bad. It gets away in the fourth quarter. Wisconsin ends up covering. Everybody was talking about the lines this week. People who still got in at 23.5 get their money. But yeah, I've been thinking, like, what was the Wisconsin game? 2012, we go up there. We weren't very good. Somehow we're hanging in there. Like, I think it was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter. And nobody remembers that because Wisconsin scored, I think we threw two picks and Wisconsin scored three times and we get drubbed. And I could see something like that to where it's like 21-14 going in the fourth. And it's like, you know, we're in this just like last year. We just need that one little break. And then suddenly touchdown, fumbled, kickoff, touchdown. And it's like, oh, wait, yeah, they're really good and they know what they're doing. And we're still trying to figure that out. So that's what you will see later tonight on the SOC, but
we'll all be rooting against you.
Okay, good.
Earlier today, because it'll already.
Oh, yes, that's right. Like talking in the future. So,
yeah. Nice weather.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's close with this. Like the way this is going to work is, this is kind of the launch podcast for the Field Pass, and it's going to be up either Monday or Tuesday. You guys will launch yours, which we're going to basically all record together again, breaking down the Wisconsin game and being amazed that Mikey was right, that hit the score exactly, and oh my God, yep. We beat Wisconsin. Are we winning the West? So that will come on Monday or Tuesday. And with that, there will be, you know, I don't know if people know how this works with podcasts. So you have to have an episode out there, and then the services have to approve it of like, okay, yes, I acknowledge that this is a podcast, and we will put it on our service. So, you know, you guys are going to post this, and people are like, hey, where's the iTunes feed? Hey, can I get it on Stitcher? And it'll be like, got to wait. You know, we have to have an episode out there. So the first episode, we'll link it. I'll embed it on the site. Everybody will be able to get to it. It just won't be subscribable yet until it's out there, gets approved, and we hit all the feeds. So that happens early next week when we break down Wisconsin. And then a few weeks later on this podcast, we're going to launch the basketball one called The Boardroom. And then throughout the year, that's how this is going to work, that I'll sometimes join these guys, I'll sometimes join those guys. I'll be here usually with just one-on-one interviews, talking to people and figuring out why 2020-21 will be the greatest year in our lives of Illinois athletics. And I should note this as well. You're called the Field Pass. They're called the Boardroom. They like football. You like basketball. You're not going to ignore when we're in the Elite Eight. It's not like you guys in March are going to be talking about, you know, Isaiah Gay, is he coming back for a fifth year with the COVID rule? You're going to be, you know, talking Illini. So we're all fans. That's the whole point of Illini board. So
you're going to hear Mikey talk about Io DeSumo.
Yes.
This is the place for that.
Yes. Oh, Mikey's going to tell stories about posting up Malcolm Hill on the court back in the day. And and we'll get to all of that. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me tonight. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this game tomorrow. I'm excited to break it down, even if my prediction is closer than your predictions. I'm just so excited to have something to evaluate.
Yeah, I'm with you. we're yeah. equally excited. I don't know if we're as excited. I was about to say equally, but that'd be tough to do. But we are excited.
Let's have a we'll text later to see who's the last person to fall asleep, because I guarantee I'm still up at 3 a.m. trying to figure out.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
I was gonna say I might be able to beat you there. I actually got my don't try these. Clock
Okay, good. Okay, well, that is it for this episode of We Love No Other. I almost said the field pass because I forgot, but this is We Love No Other, and there's gonna be a lot more of these in the future. So thanks for joining, and go Illini.